It's time for Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. And now, here's your host, Rob Hernandez.
And thanks for joining us on this week's Talking.Golf. You know, I'm down here in Arizona, and it has been a whirlwind of people coming in and out. We've had high school slash junior events. We've had a couple college events. Not long until the PGA Tour Champions comes through. But this week, it's a real special tournament, one that I circle every year because it's technically a home tournament for the University of Wisconsin women's golf team, but it's right in our backyard here in Arizona up at Westbrook Village. It's the Westbrook Invitational. And joining us to talk about this unique golf tournament and the way it's been embraced by the residents over at Westbrook Village is the Badgers head coach, Todd Erline. Todd, appreciate you doing this. I know there's a lot going on coaching the team, organizing the tournament, but this one you get a lot of help with because this community really turns out for it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob. Yeah, it's a great event. It is definitely home away from home for us. And you're right, we have just an amazing support group out here. The organizing committee that puts the tournament together for us and runs it and works on it throughout the year. I'm just so grateful. I can't thank them enough for everything that they've always done for us. Not only just running the event, but the private house a lot of the teams. And I think at one point we had 57 or 58 homes, close to 60 homes in the community that were housing the coaches, the players, the field, all that other, and just everything else that they do for the event. So yeah, it's a really special place.
Well, and I've got in my hand here the last year's program. I mean, they print programs every day, Todd.
Yeah. Print programs, signage, banners. If you come into the pro shop, actually, they have the previous season's banners still hanging around the walls and things like that. And the head golf professional and director of golf, Brandon, he just does an amazing job for us out here. And but the whole community and staff, just first class all the way.
And it's a 14 team event, your second event of the spring season.
Yeah.
It gets underway with a 36 hole round on Sunday, starting at 8:30 with the first round. And then they just keep playing until basically darkness. And then they'll wrap up Monday with an 8:30 shotgun. The 14 teams, but as I was getting ready for this, Todd, I'm seeing three teams that have coaches with ties to the state of Wisconsin. Kristen Simpson, who was an assistant not too long ago for you,
now
head coach at Penn State. Emily Lauterbach, I believe, still assisting over at Colorado State. And Sarah Busey, assisting over at Tennessee Chattanooga. This is like a homecoming for those gals, I'm sure. And for you, you got to be proud, especially with a former player and a former assistant coach in the coaching ranks. The cradle continues.
Yeah, it is fun to see it. And they are excited. And I think because they've been here, Emily, when she played, Kristen, when as a coach, and just that whole side of things, I think they want to come back and they want to be back in the area. They just have had a chance to see it and the excitement around the community. And so that's part of it. But yeah, super proud to have all those players just continue to stay in the game and continue to stay coaching. And you mentioned Sarah, she does an awesome job at Chattanooga as well. And she's just crushing it right there. Also getting her coaching career started and just doing a great job. So so it'll be great to see everybody this week.
Well, I know it's probably a big event for you guys, coming off a pretty good showing at San Diego State. I guess let's start first with what you need to do this spring, what you're looking for out of this group this spring. You've got a mix of some pretty good veterans that have been here a while, including the defending champion of this tournament, Chloe Chan, and then some youngsters. I'm not sure who's all in the lineup this week, but you've got some potential to do some things this spring.
Yeah. I'm excited about it, Rob. I mean, I think we're doing a good job Rob, are you looking for a golf ball? I did not. I'm kind of in between a couple of holes out here and I had somebody,
no problem.
Somebody come over.
No.
Okay. So, you talked about last week in San Diego, I thought we played really pretty solid over there. The 36 hole day, the first day out, I thought we played pretty solid, but I don't think we got much out of the rounds. For just a variety of just different circumstances, depending on the player in the round. We probably just left a few out there and didn't get as much out of it. Thought we played really solid the final round, though. Had the second low round of the day. You know, obviously you want to always have the best round of the day, but the only team that beat us was Stanford. I mean, they were the number one ranked team in the country at the time. And so, I guess there's really not a lot of embarrassment or shame there. And I thought the girls, you know, as a whole played really solid there. So plenty to build on. You mentioned the returning players. We have some experience, and so I think that they're pretty comfortable. I think they'll be comfortable at this place. You know, they know the golf course. What am I, looking forward to in the spring? I think the lineup needs to kind of flush out a little bit. I think we've got some competition for, in particular four or five spot, and who's going to be into the sixth spot and where that all lies. And so there's some depth there and some competition. I would love to see somebody actually start to grab hold of that and kind of earn and separate a little bit through good play and through their quality of play. And so this weekend, part of that to try to create some opportunity and get some rounds. I actually have 8 players here this week. So we're going to have the 5 obviously in the lineup, but then we're going to have 3 individuals playing as well. And just was able to get a couple extra individuals in the field. That's one of the benefits of hosting this event at this time of the year, right? I can control that a little bit and can kind of do that. So I'm excited about that opportunity for the players. And I think we need to kind of flush that out a little bit, like let people get on a golf course and kind of start to separate a little bit. So nice mix. The girls are working super hard. I'm really proud of like their focus and their effort and their attention, and they're doing everything right that way. And just hit a few more good shots and see some putts drop. It's kind of the name of the game probably for us. It certainly isn't a lack of commitment and effort. And I'm super excited about that and really encouraged by what I saw in San Diego.
Well, and I mentioned the defending champion, Chloe Chan, last year, 66, 71, 65. I got to follow her at the first stage of LPGA Tour qualifying school last fall. Clearly, this is a young lady who wants a future in the game. And it seems like she has that potential. I suppose it's the consistency that you're looking for her to flush out.
Yeah, Chloe, consistency is a really big piece. She's super talented, right? I mean, you see the scores. Last year in one of our qualifying rounds last spring, she shot 63 at the Ridge, which I think it's the lowest round I've had any of my players shoot out there. I think it's the course record for a women's competitive round. And even though it wasn't in the tournament, it was a qualifying round. So I had them on tournament tees and we were playing pretty legit. So Chloe, she has that kind of gear where she can get going and kind of make a lot of birdies. I think one of the things I'm kind of really excited and just hope to see it play out is, she did move to a new driver this during the off season. And just maybe a little better fit. Seems like the shaft might fit a little bit better. It seems like the shot dispersion is kind of tightened a little bit off the tee, which I think if Chloe were to get off at all, the driver would maybe spray just a little bit. And it seems like right now, she's driving the ball pretty well. And so hopefully that continues. And so I think that would help a lot with some consistency for her. But yeah, Chloe's super talented. And one of the things that she has as a player is she has great hands, right? And if you watched her play, so you can see that. And so Chloe can make some putts. And she's good around the greens and she can kind of make some putts. And so she can get hot with the putter. And that's when you see some of those low rounds.
One other player I wanted to ask about, Carly Carter. I think a couple of years ago, you brought her to Westbrook as an individual. And over the last couple of years, she's really, perhaps entrenched herself in the lineup, at times been right at the top of the lineup. To me, that's as good an arc of improvement as I've seen out of one of your players in quite some time.
Yeah, Carly's done an awesome job. Came in as a freshman. If you watch Carly hit golf balls on the driving range, you'd be like, man, this kid is like a number one player for sure, right? Super talented tee to green, long, big, strong girl, and so she hits it hard. And, so all of that aspect has kind of always been there. Needed to kind of get a little more consistent with it. Carly's growth has just been around the putting surface, you know, both short game improvement and involvement or evolvement, and then just putting better. I mean, it's just needed to kind of clean things up around the green sides and to get more out of her rounds. And that's to her credit. It's like, I mean, it's she took the things that we were asking her to do. She also worked with, you know, her teachers back home over the summer and just the things that we were kind of asking her to kind of develop and stay with. And it was just a little bit of a process. It's just she had to just kind of tighten things up around the greens and around those situations. And now that she has, you're starting to see some unbelievable rounds, right? And she was really good last year. Had a nice fall for us, really solid, and you know, kind of played pretty well last weekend. Probably played a little better than how she scored. One of those situations where that first day had it in pretty good position a lot of the round and maybe just didn't get as much out of it. But yeah, she's really grown a lot as a player, and that's to her credit. She's just worked really hard. She loves the game. She's super passionate.
Well, and it's for all these golfers, it's a lot easier on the outside looking in than probably the inside, you know, trying to go through that, you know. They've got school, they've got at times during, you know, the two seasons finals to worry about. So I'm sure as a coach, it's up to you to make it fun. One thing I wanted to ask about before the trip to San Diego, you were down in Florida with a spring training trip. I believe Izzy Stricker's family hosted that. What was that like? Were mom and dad around, or was it, did Izzy have the whole house to herself?
No, mom and dad were there. Yeah, mom and dad were there. I'm sure they would have turned it over to her if she needed, if they weren't. But yeah, they were around, and so really gracious and super kind of them to have the team over for dinner and get there. We actually weren't able to play Isleworth on that particular trip. Just they're in the middle of a renovation project down there and moving some things, so they actually are walking only, members only, no guests and anything. So but in the future, I know Steve's extended the invitation for us. But it was really nice of them to have us over for dinner, and yeah, we had a great trip there. Took the whole team down, played some great golf courses, and just had a great trip. And as you mentioned, then got a chance to get over and Steve and Nikki were there that night, and it was kind of fun because it wasn't just those two that were there. Bobby and Mackenzie Hahn were actually down there playing a tour event as well, and so they were there for dinner. So we had a little alumni reunion as well.
Well, that
So
is awesome, and they're playing well. They're
fun
on the
night.
NXT tour down there in Florida, and shooting some good numbers at times, and that's neat to see. Before we talk about the rest of the spring, I wanted to, you know, kind of pick your brain on a couple of topics. College sports has been just a whirlwind of different topics lately with you know, NIL, transfer portal. The latest one is roster limits, perhaps coming to college sports specifically as it relates to golf. It looks like we might be going to a nine-player maximum. You've got nine now, so I'm not sure this really impacts you, but the changing world of college sports, certainly it's something you must be paying attention to.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think we all are. If you're in the business, it's hard not to pay attention to it. And I, you know, this all of these things that we're all jumping ahead, it's all pending the formal approval of that settlement in April, right? And it's kind of an interesting deal because you're having to make all these plans without actually having formal approval, right? So you're kind of getting out ahead of it a little bit, but you can't really wait until April and then all of a sudden just throw it all into place overnight, right? So people are trying to, there's a pretty strong sentiment that it's probably going to go forward in April and that's going to change. So the landscape is definitely changing. The roster limits of nine, you know, in our sport, I don't, I mean, it certainly is changing some rosters with some sport or some schools, but I don't know that it's totally impacting opportunity as much as some people were fearful that it might. I mean, across all of Division One, the average roster size is actually less than nine, and at Division One level, and so capping it at nine really, in theory, doesn't remove opportunity from people. And yet, there are schools out there that had 10, 11, 12 players, and they're going to have to go back to nine. So there's less opportunity on those rosters. And so players might have to find somewhere else. It definitely changes it. I think the area from a roster side of things, Rob, just to kind of leave it, the last point on this is, let's say my roster was nine, but I had somebody that I was excited about that I thought had potential and growth and opportunity just from a development side of things. I had some flexibility where I could maybe add a 10th or at times an 11th if I needed to. I just had, and I could kind of expand my roster a little bit if I needed to. There's just is no flexibility for that anymore. So it's going to be a firm nine. So I think players are going to have to be just clearly identifying or define, you know, making it obvious that they're college ready.
Right. Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a little more priority on that in the recruiting process. And you layer on the fact that the portal is more active than it used to be 5, 6, 7 years ago. And so you know, in theory, a lot of coaches can, they feel like they can go find the portal player who we know is probably ready.
Sure.
Cause you've had a chance to watch what they can or can't do at the college level. So I think that is a little different. I think the thing that's really going to be interesting to see how it all flushes out, Rob, over time is just where the revenue goes.
Yeah.
And what impact that has on ultimately on budgets.
I would agree. And you hear all these astronomical numbers about how much is being paid out in NIL numbers to different sports. And some schools prioritize this sport over the others. Others have different priorities. And to your point about, you know, everything has to get to April for the courts to finally rule. And then we get to see some domino effects. We've heard about, you know, some, you know, if you're not a Power Four school, you may not opt in. So you might have the opportunity to carry more players.
Yeah.
We've heard that the junior college eligibility, yeah, at least this year, is going to be kind of the any time spent at a JC by seniors this year will give them an additional year. And that could lead to maybe the JC time not even counting. So we may be seeing the development here of a minor league system of, you know, maybe not just that direct high school to college route anymore. There may be some stops on the way.
Yeah, the junior college route will be interesting. I also think it's going to be interesting where, you know, at some point in time, there's discussion about whether or not a fifth year becomes just normal, commonplace, just 5 years of eligibility instead of four, right? I mean, there's just all those discussions. I don't think that's on the docket right now. I don't mean to mislead anybody to think that, but those are the types of things that are definitely in discussion, right? That always come up. And you mentioned how the numbers with NIL, I just think at the end of the day, if the NIL isn't going to go away, but on top of it, there's now going to be approximately a $22 million revenue share that has to be distributed amongst certain sports and certain student athletes. That, you know, every university across the country, you know, they're trying to increase revenues, right, to account for that added $22 million. And there'll be ways that they increase revenue to do all of that. Part of bringing that also is cutting on some expenditure, right? Cutting some expense. And so budgets are certainly not going to be growing in certain sports, right? In non-revenue generating sports. I just don't think you're going to see that a lot. And so what over time is there's a reset in what that looks like budget wise, you know, how do we need to adjust accordingly, right? Is it changes in scheduling? Is it changes in, you know, I don't know. I think there's just things that kind of maybe remain to be seen a little bit, but I think it's probably fairly certain that it's going to look different in the not too distant future than what it probably looks today. Right.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's funny because we're talking about this. And again, as we look ahead now to the rest of the spring season, you know, I was looking at the Big Ten schools in women's golf, and I got to 16 and realized I'm missing Penn State. And then I realized I'm missing Maryland. Are we at 18 schools in the Big Ten, right?
We are. Yeah, we're 18 schools. Yeah, it's crazy. And you know, that's been an interesting thing across the sports, like the home and aways, right? And having to go to the West Coast, and from, if you're from Maryland, having to go over there. Okay, so that's been an interesting thing for our sport. That really hasn't dictated or changed much of our scheduling, right? We still run invitationals, and so it doesn't change anything. The one thing that it will change for us is our conference championship this year will no longer be six count four. It's going to be five count four.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So our conference championship this year on the women's side, historically, the Big Ten has always been six count four, which I loved, right? And I thought it was a great format. I loved having the extra player. I actually think all of college golf should be six count four, but it is what it is. I love that format, but we just can't get that many players on the golf course and with 18 teams. And so we did not want, as a coaches group, to have to restrict and say, okay, only 14 of the 18 teams qualify for our conference championship. We prioritized having all 18 teams there. It's our only opportunity all year long to see everybody. And so we prioritized all 18 teams. But to make that work and to give a little bit of flexibility with inclement weather or delays or anything that might happen, we had to go to five count four. So our championship now will be five count four with the opportunity to provide substitutions, which will also be new for our players, right? At the conference level, that'll be a new concept in the past or this year, upcoming this spring.
Wow. Well, that's something. But you're right. I mean, I like the idea that, you know, if we're going to have a conference of 18 teams, let's get everybody there for the conference tournament. Now, I know that's not that way. Women's basketball, they're going to lop off about four, I believe, and only invite the top 14 in the standings. So, you know, there are some sports where that's in play. As you look at the impact of the schools that have been added, you know, Oregon is currently ranked third in the country, USC four, UCLA 31. I mean, you knew they'd bring some talent to the table. How does it change the dynamic of maybe how many bids the Big Ten might get, you know, how tough it'll be to win the conference championship and that kind of thing?
I'll make an argument that women's golf, as much as I don't think there's another sport that was more impacted with strength than women's golf was with the addition of the four new teams. I think some other sports added some really dominant programs also as well, on the women's side, but I don't think anybody more so than ours. When you're talking about UCLA and USC, I mean, those are two truly blue blood programs in our sport, right? And then what Derek has been doing at Oregon, and I mean, Rhea crushed it before Derek was there as well, but now Derek's even kind of taken them to kind of a typically top five type program. You know, and Washington is always good. And so, yeah, those four teams, they add a lot of depth. We're excited about it, though. I mean, it's just talent and competitiveness, and I think the rest of the conference is gonna. I mean, you got to elevate, right? I mean, if you want to try to compete for a conference championship, you got to kind of elevate and try to embrace that opportunity. So it's gonna be super competitive. All 18 teams and those four add a lot to our league for sure.
Got about a minute left. Your message to your players, starting with the Westbrook and going forward, in a nutshell, what would it be if you were to, you know, day in and day out, you know, give them something to kind of chew on that, you know, might help them get to where they want to go?
Yeah, our biggest focus for our players this spring and really as of late is I think we need to do just a better job of getting more out of our rounds, whatever they bring to the golf course on that day. I think golf's an emotional, can be emotional, right? And it's tough to play that way. And I think we just need to kind of be present a little bit more and just that old one shot at a time analogy for sure. But I think at moments we've maybe haven't done as good a job as we need to about kind of moving past mistakes, not allowing previous situations to influence what's about to happen. And I just think we can grow in that area a lot. And I think when we do, we'll just get more out of our rounds. And the players that have it going on a given day, we need them to maximize their round and shoot 68 instead of let the round slip away and turn it into 71. And we need to start figuring out a way to make sure our fourth score is more competitive than what it's been at times this year.
Absolutely. Well, looking forward to coming out. I'll be out there Monday. I know last year was a T3 finish for the Badgers. It kind of, you know, was one of the better finishes you guys have had in your invite. So looking forward to it, Todd. Appreciate the time here on Talking.Golf.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob. I appreciate it. I look forward to seeing you Monday.
All right. That's Todd Erlein here, and this has been Talking.Golf.